It's day 11, travel to orbit, and it's a Monday. I wonder if Guardians hate Mondays more than any other day. I wonder if it's like us, we get up, we go to work after a weekend, and they're like, man, I have to go shoot all these Hive, I gotta go find these Knights, I have to go fight these Fallen, I have to get on this catch and clear out this catch. Mondays suck. Because really, I mean, they're doing it every other day also. So I wonder if they have a day where they get to relax. Probably not. I mean, every day there's daily bounties. You know, Varix wants him to go kill Fallen. Petra wants him to go kill Fallen. Eris wants him to go kill some other dark demon god of the Hive, even though she's probably Hive. I wonder if she eventually we're going to kill her. You know, and the Traveler, the Speaker doesn't want us to do anything, though. He's just kind of up there looking at his star charts. But it's Monday. We hate Mondays. I wonder if our Guardians hate Mondays. I don't know, maybe sometimes when we're not playing, they're taking a break. They're like, finally, they're taking a break. They're not playing. I get to relax. But, I mean, they're gaining experience points while we're doing it. I mean, if they die, they just come back. So it's not like anything's really permanent. It's not even Nightfall anymore. Get kicked to orbit. So I don't know. Maybe they don't hate Mondays. Maybe they're just like, whatever. Maybe Exos don't even get tired because they're robots. So why does an Exo need a helmet if he already has, like, a metallic head? And stuff. Why couldn't they just make their head bigger and look different instead of putting another bucket on top of a bucket? That doesn't make much sense. For the humans in Woken, sure, their flesh, they could probably die. But for an Exo, isn't it just kind of redundant? And maybe that's what it is. It's a security redundancy. But why not just put all the cool stuff from the helmet into the head you have anyway? I mean, your head would be a little bit bigger, but you're running around with the helmet on anyway. So I don't know. Weird question. Anyway, it's Monday, and it's day 11, like I said. Exotic Sword Quest update. Finally, well, I guess not finally. I went and harvested the 10 materials that you need. I'm doing the Arc Blade, so I had to go to the Earth to farm for some Spirit Bloom. It's not Spirit Bloom, it's Relic Iron. It's not Relic Iron, Spin Metal. Spin Metal's on Earth. So I went and did that. So I did the exploit. If you did not know, there is an exploit to farm this material. Just like the exploit everyone was using for the ether chests. If you, before they made the patch, you could go get an ether chest, open it up, sprint out of the area, come back into the area, open that chest again, rinse and repeat for however long it stayed up. Now for the materials, it's slightly different and slightly more broken than this. So I was down in the rocket yard because there's a lot of stuff that was spawning in the rocket yard. And in the rocket yard, there's a lot of close load points because the area isn't too big. So if you go to the rocket yard, spawn into the rocket yard, turn on your ghost that pinpoints spin metal. It'll tell you where to go. For me, there was one node. You go into the rocket yard, turn right, and it's just around the corner. It was back there in the corner. So I would grab that, get on my sparrow, leave, come back, and rinse and repeat this process. Now, if there was no one in the area while you were doing this, the timer for these things to disappear does not start. So you can do this however many times you want on the same node going in and coming back out. If someone is back in the area, and the Rocky Yard is kind of popular because there's some taken there that for a mission that you need to kill, but it's so much easier to do it on the Rocky Yard because it's closer. I'm sure there's other places. If you know of another place that you can find on Earth to where you can go in and out of an area very quickly, let us know. But I did it on the Rocky Yard. So people would come in and my nodes would disappear and that was fine. I would go around and look for some more, loot them, and then those people would eventually leave. I would help when the Taken bosses showed up and there are people there. Just, you know, something different to do, and sometimes those can get pretty hectic if you're by yourself. So I went and helped out. Black Spindle just destroys those guys very easily. So they would leave and then nodes would respawn. And then for the second part that I was doing this farming, there was two nodes right at the entrance. So this was awesome. I was able to harvest these two nodes repeatedly over and over again. It took me probably an hour to get 10 of the materials that you need. And this is while I was fighting Taken also and driving back and forth. So I got that done. That was the hard part. Now I just gotta, I think I'm at like 80% right now using my lightning abilities to kill enemies. That I'm not in too big of a hurry to do because the next part of the quest, I have to wait for Wednesday for Arms Day anyway to turn that in. So I'll finish that up tonight, and I'll finish it up Tuesday night, and I'll get ready for Wednesday to get those materials that I'll need, and then to run the last part of the quest. So I'm pretty excited about that. I mean, it's a nice quest. I'm not trying to rush through it. I mean, I don't think having the sword exotic is going to be a huge difference, especially because the sniper rifle that I'm using right now takes up my exotic slot, and that sniper, it's the only good sniper that I have. Although, I will be having a sniper come in on Wednesday, so maybe I'll be able to swap that out, and hopefully it'll have 3 more bullets in the mag instead of Black Spindle. Black Spindle's nice, but I don't know if it's as reliable as I want it to be, and it takes up that exotic slot, so we'll see. But I do need a sniper for the raid. So, I also finished my Tier 3 Court of Oryx quest. I was able to complete that. I was just running around. I was farming this stuff. And I get a message from my brother that plays also. And he's like, come to the court, hurry! So I tried to join him. Got the invite. Spawned in. And just as I was running into the area, I saw there was like 7 people in the area. And they were fighting Mini Crota. And I'm trying to jump across the platforms to get there. And I see the timer going down. And he's yelling in my ear. He's like, hurry, get here! He's like, I can't get there faster! So then I finally jump in. Right before I jump in, they complete it. I'm like, ah, crap. Missed it. It's all right. I had a antiquated room. So I jumped up there, threw in the antiquated room, and this group was awesome. I mean, they were all on point. There was a bunch of people there, so ads were being taken care of. Everyone was downing Mini Crota when they were supposed to. Swordbear did a great job. So got that done super fast. Didn't take long at all. And I was like, boom, I'm out. I had to go make food for my kids or something. So I was like, all right, thanks for the run. I'm out of here. So I got that done, got it taken care of. It was pretty sweet. Man, it just makes such a difference when there's more people in there, when you have, you know, some communication going on. There's a couple of people there, you could see that they're in groups together, and they're communicating, and there's a huge group there, and it just makes it so much more doable instead of going in with only 3 people and no one else being there. Bungie, you've got to give us 6-man patrols. Please, do it. But I got that done. I haven't gone through the calcified fragments for those yet. I'm going to read those over tonight. I think I've collected 9 of them that I have to go through and read. I did go through back on the Cade Stash mission, and I found the 3 ghosts on that map. And started reading through those. There's some interesting ghosts. Ghost Fragment Human 5. They talk about, I don't know exactly when the time frame is. I think it's after the Traveler arrives. Someone's speaking about the Earth being in ruin. I don't know if they're talking about it. There was a war going on, or the Earth was just dying, and then the Traveler shows up and saves it. I gotta read in more into this. I mean, the card is interesting. Wasn't too impressed with it. The cool card here was the Legend of Saint 14 card. You know, that funky little helmet that all of the Titans get. Now, the Saint 14, he killed the Devil Kel Sulcus and he used his helmet, jabbed it right into his face and killed him. And in this card, you'll have to go read the card. The speaker is talking to Saint 14. And the speaker calls him son, and Saint 14 calls the speaker father. But I'm pretty sure that he was an exo, Saint 14. So I don't know if they're, like, speaking, like, you know, religiously, like, oh, my son, yes, father, that kind of thing. Or if they're literally, it's like his son and his father. But if they are, but he's an exo, so how would they know? Because guardians are brought back, and I don't know, it's just really confusing. So maybe it's just, like, you know, a respect thing, calls him son, calls him father, he's the speaker. He's a Saint 14, so Saint, he's... It could have been, I don't know, maybe he's a clergyman before he was brought back. So he's just kind of used to that. So I don't know. Kind of interesting. But I think after Saint 14 kills Sulcus, I think that was the end of the Twilight War. And then after that, you know, Saint 14 thinks he's going to have a chance to rest. But the speaker sends him to go find Osiris, who apparently is doing some funky stuff with Vex stuff on Mercury. So it says that Saint 14 equips his Vex weapons and he's ready to go after him. So, yeah, I'll have to look more into the Grim Accord to see exactly when the first Vex showed up. Showed up? Is that even a word? Showed up? When the Vex were first discovered. Because I thought when, you know, when we were going through the storyline that was the first encounter with the Vex. But could be wrong. We'll have to go see. Interesting card. And then the third one is Ghost Fragment Old Russia 3. And this one talks about Rasputin. Talks about someone that's flying in this glider suit around one of the big ships. And talks about Rasputin who's making preparations, putting doomsday weapons into orbit, getting ready for something to go on. And this other AI, I imagine it's an AI talking to this person, you know, is referring to Rasputin as this tyrant, dictator. He's kind of paranoid. So I don't know if Rasputin at this point is crazy, or if he's on the verge of crazy, because he's getting all these weapons ready and he doesn't know what's going to happen. Or maybe Rasputin does know what's going to happen and he's just preparing for that, and not everyone can see exactly what he's preparing for. So it'd be interesting. It'd be interesting to go to like an installation that's orbiting Earth, you know, that Rasputin built. Maybe like a safe satellite or something that we get to go explore in the future. And in the card, they talk about this glider that this person is flying around in on. It'd be fun to have, like, drop into a strike or drop into the raid, and you have this little section where you're on a glider and you're going through fighting enemies that are also flying around you. It'd be kind of interesting, dodging asteroids and stuff like that. Who knows? Maybe. They also talk about a vision device in this card. Now I was thinking, is this vision device the same vision device that the future war cult built and was testing on all these people to see visions of the future? And if so, maybe there's something in there. Maybe Rasputin had some insight into all the tests and stuff that they were running with this vision device. Have to cross-reference this stuff. Man, we got to read all this stuff, cross-reference it, check it, make sure where it does match up, if it does match up at all. I don't know. It's crazy. But Friday, my group finally jumped into the raid. It took us forever to get started, so I was already super tired by the time everyone was on. Tired, frustrated. We were about 2.5 hours late. So at that point, you're just kind of getting ready. You want to go. You want to hurry up. You want to get it done before you run out of time. And I was pretty frustrated. And I was kind of halfway on tilt already when we first started, which wasn't good. Because I was just like, fine, I'm grabbing this thing, I'm going. And everyone's like, wait, what are you doing? I was like, I'm going, hurry up, follow me. And that, of course, we all died. So they're all pissed off, I'm pissed off, we're yelling at each other. So we calmed down, took a breath, got it done, opened up the portal to get into the road to King's Fall. So the first part of the raid, opening up the doors, you have to put in the I guess there's 12. There's two for each. Oh, spoilers for the raid. If you guys don't want to hear anything about the raid, or if you're still dark, good on ya. I've been dark the whole time, so I'm pretty excited about it. I'm going to talk about the raid and up to where we got and how it went with our group. So if you don't want to listen, you can turn it off, pause it, whatever. Or just, I'm not going to go into huge details. But I'll tell the first part about the raid. So opening the door to the raid is actually a lot of fun. I mean, they definitely made it to where it's like, this is impossible for you to do alone. We're not going to have another repeat of Dark Below where you can one-man the raid. That's not, you know, I'm sure that was a big slap in the face to Bungie when they found videos of people doing the raid by themselves. They're like, this is supposed to be the hardest thing in the game. It's supposed to require teamwork. We spent all this time on it, and you can just, if you're dedicated enough, you can just go in and you can solo it. It's like, that's not what they wanted. Let's make this first part where you have to cooperate. You need 6 people. I'm sure maybe eventually people will be able to start doing it with 4 people. One person carrying, or 2 people carrying the basketball. And then, it's not a basketball. I know it's not a basketball, but I'm going to call it a basketball. 2 people carrying the basketball, then 2 people clearing the doors, and then clearing the ads. I'm sure eventually that'll happen when people are high enough level. But you pick up these orbs, you're putting them into the statues to charge the statues. You're going back out, you're grabbing more, going back. So, you know, you're running back and forth. People are clearing out enemies. People are taking down these doors so you can get past. And it was good because it's interactive. It gets everyone interacting. I really like it takes a lot longer to open these doors, I think, than it takes to open the vault of glass doors. And maybe that's just because it's the first time we are running it, so it's all new, so you're excited, and you're getting through there. But I really liked that. I liked how it's making everyone interact. You can't just sit on a plate or sit on a stone with a sniper shooting across the map. You really have to be on your game, clearing out the doors. You have to be communicating. And it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I carried the basketball on, you know, left side and got that all done. And it was a lot of fun. So you get in there. You get in through this portal and you get into this huge area. And this area is really cool. And then you get to the jumping puzzle. Normally our group struggles with jumping puzzles. Well, not all of us. We'll say it, you hunters out there, Old Man Fear, Platinum, man, you guys and your jumping puzzles. No, it's a lot of fun. We all have our moments of the jumping puzzles where we're falling down, we're pushing each other off, and sometimes it's just, and this is a little bit more punishing than the old jumping puzzle in Vault of Glass, because this one takes so much longer to get through than waiting for one or two of those platforms to appear, because you have to jump from ship to ship. You get into this giant room, and this looks like an hangar where they keep all their hive ships. And it's kind of an interesting hangar. And whatever Thrall is like directing all these ships in this room, they need to get a raise, because these ships are going back and forth, crisscrossing each other. I don't know exactly where they're going or why they're doing it inside this area, but good on that Thrall for keeping these ships from running into each other. You know, it's kind of bad where they, it's like, well, I mapped it out. If someone wanted to jump across here, there's a sequence that they could get across. But this jumping puzzle is really fun. The area looks really cool. Being able to see out into the stars in this large area, these ships appearing and disappearing, it's a lot of fun. Jumping across, you know, I don't mind the jumping puzzles. It's fun. It's a different aspect to a raid. I really enjoyed it. You know, when people are getting close and they're following the path of these ships and we're trying to figure it out and you're starting nudging people off the edge and they die. Good times had all around for this part of the puzzle. It was a lot of fun. Figured out the pattern, got across, found out where we could open, you know, one of the chests to get some shards out of it. And it was a lot of fun. So then after that, this was on Friday night. We got to the room with the keys, and you have to sit on this platform 10 times in order to unlock this door so that you can be proven worthy in order to go fight the war priest. This one was hard. This one, we wiped a bunch of times trying to figure out exactly what we needed to do. We saw that there was a circle in the middle. We're like, all right, let's stand on the circle, let's activate it. We saw the two orbs floating on the left and the right, and then the pylons over on the other side inside the poison. So we ran around, we were trying to figure out what to do. Go out to the pylon, poison kills you. Nope, that doesn't work. Let's stand here and try this. Nope, that doesn't work. You go there, I'll go here, we'll stand here, and we'll try this. Nope, that doesn't work. Well, look, if I get this, you know, the poison doesn't hurt me. It's like, well, if I get this, the poison doesn't hurt me. But they're two different buffs, so what do we got to do? It's like, well, let's grab the buff, and let's go stand on this pylon and see what happens. Like, okay, now switch with me, and I'll run. And now what? Oh, I don't know. It's like, well, oh, look what happens when I stand on the circle. This starts going down. It's like, oh, it starts going down. And, you know, you wipe. It's like, okay, so we got to stand on the circle after we get the buff. And then we got to be switching back and forth as the buff goes down. Oh, look, when the buff goes down, this, you know, this glyph appears. It's like, oh, we got to get it all the way to the top. There's 10 of them. How are we supposed to do that? It's like, we got to keep switching. So we were trying this, we're doing this, and we're doing really good. We got close, and we're tightening up our game, figuring out when boomers spawn, what supers to be using. I turned on Blink. So, you know, you spend less time in the poison, you get across faster. Using that, we're throwing up, our titans are throwing up bubbles. We're switching up our teams, two people taking care of adds. One titan on either side throwing up a bubble. Hunter on one side and the warlock on the other side. And this was a lot of fun figuring it out. Being able to sit down, not knowing what to do, and just having things, you know, naturally they come to you and you start trying things. And you get it, and you start figuring it out. We weren't able to finish that on Friday. So then we come back Saturday. And this was a lot of fun because we started at the same spot. We got to open the door and we start figuring it out. And one of our guys was having troubles with his mic. So I don't know if he couldn't hear us. We could hear him when he was talking, but he couldn't hear us. So he was on the platform and the guy that was supposed to replace him with the bubbles yelling at him to go. It's like, go. And he's standing there and he's like, what? Tell me when. He's like, go. He's like, tell me when. And he dies. So we're all getting super frustrated that he wasn't listening because he couldn't hear us. So some of us were going on tilt and we're getting super frustrated. So we swapped teams. Yelling was had, insults were thrown, curses were being flung around. It was a lot of good times. I mean, you guys all know how it goes. When you're in that high-pressure situation and you're trying to get something done, it's the first time. I mean, your adrenaline's going. I mean, when you're getting close and you're getting those glyphs up to the top of that door that you're thinking you're going to open this door, I mean, everything starts getting more and more intense. Adrenaline's flowing, your heart's beating, your arms are shaking. You're trying to hit these shots, get these boomers down. You're trying to make those transitions good. And then finally you did it and you're like, yes, it's done. And then most of that frustration, you know, and anger you felt with your team, it just kind of dissipates because you did it. It's over. It's completed. You're done. And it was cool. I mean, it's a really cool part of the raid that I really liked. Again, this isn't just one person carrying a relic. It's six people, each with a job, not just, you know, shoot at the boss, you know. It's interactive for everyone. Everyone's doing their job. You know, our two people that are in the middle, they're taking down wizards. They're taking down knights when they come in. They're picking up the thralls that run past so that the other guys making the swaps don't get killed. I mean, everyone is doing something. Everyone's got to be up, focused, and on point. And it's a lot of fun. I don't think anyone in that sequence is like, I don't really have an important job. It's like, no, if those knights get down there, those knights will just smoke you while you're waiting for that thing to pop. You know, if too many thrall go down and you have to cover thrall, you have to cover acolytes, and you have to cover boomers, it's hard. You know, having a sniper rifle to one-shot the boomers that are up top, I mean, it's difficult also. And it's a pretty cool area. I mean, it's interesting. It's a really cool part of the raid that I really enjoyed. I mean, it wasn't a boss fight, but I mean, it was a cool doorway to get to the boss fight. So then we get to the War Priest. And the War Priest, there's, you know, the Oculus up there hanging around, and we're seeing these platforms on the ground. It's like, all right, there's three platforms, and we're looking at the pillars, trying to figure out what to do. And this was late on Saturday, so we were like, okay, let's figure this out. So we see the platforms, we start stepping on platforms. There's like, sequence, glyph sequence incorrect. We're like, oh, that's weird. So we're like, hey, guys, look at on these giant glyphs in the middle of the room. There's like a pattern on there. It's like, okay, maybe this is a pattern that we have to follow. Like, okay, maybe we could probably do that. We could follow a pattern. It's like, okay, but like, well, those don't really match up from what we tried. And I think that would have been cool if those that were actually written on the glyph actually correlated. And maybe they do somehow. Maybe there's a secret chest that after you beat the War Priest. Spoiler alert, we weren't able to beat the War Priest on Saturday. We're going to have to try again. Maybe it does open up a secret chest or something. I don't know. Maybe people have already found out, and then I don't know because I'm going blind, going dark on it. But this was interesting because we got the sequence, the first sequence right, and we're like, all right, the first sequence. And then we're like, what's this red bubble? It's like, why is it killing us? Why are you dying? Don't stand next to me. But they're like, no, you have to stand next to me because it's the only way I can damage the War Priest. And we wipe. So we start tying it up. Start trying to figure it out. What do we do? What do we do? By this time, we were all really tired. So we're really tired. Some of us were still upset. Some of us were still on tilt and salty. So like, fine, just look up the strap for the War Priest and we'll go from there. It's like, okay. So you have to look behind the pillars in order to get the sequence right. So like, okay, we were right there. We were on it. There's just this one thing that we were missing that we didn't notice. Okay. So it didn't spoil too much for us. We were already pretty much on, you know, knew what we had to do for this part. We weren't able to complete it. We still had to figure out the sequencing of how many, you know, how long do we have to be on target and let that one person die so we can get enough damage on him without the Oculus going off and just wiping us out. I mean, it's a fun boss battle. It's different. The War Priest, he takes a lot of damage. One thing I really like at the death screen, it tells you how much damage you did. And I've always wanted this in our strikes and everything else. So, I mean, it's something if you're in a group of six people, you want to brag. It's like, look how much DPS I did. You know, we always say, look how many kills I did. Every time we did the Templar, we had one guy that at this time, he was the only one with the Galahorn. And he would just smoke all these fanatics. You know, when the Templar summons his legion, he's always like, look how much damage I did. What are you guys doing? It's like, well, we're covering the conflexes. You're killing, you know, Templars, fanatics in the middle, you know. And it's just something else for your team to be excited about. A little competition. You know, I always like that aspect. I mean, you can see how much damage you're doing. You can see how many guys you've killed. I really like it. Hopefully they do more with that. I hope they add that to all the strikes. Show me how much damage I did to the boss. I want to see, you know, who is, you know, firing at the boss. And we can see, you know, it's like, well, maybe you need a higher damage gun. It's like, what gun are you using? Maybe you need to be using someone else to fire at the boss. So, really excited to go in, finish the raid, start it, you know, going to start at the War Priest, and hopefully we can down the War Priest. And I guess there's a quest that pops after that. So, hopefully I get that and get that done. Now, one thing, I'm probably not going to talk about this today, but tomorrow, I'll bring this up tomorrow, because I'm already going long, and this is supposed to be kind of a short daily podcast here. But I'm going to talk about looking for group websites and matchmaking, if it's needed in the raids or if it's not needed in other places. Because right now there's a lot of people that say we need it in the raids. There's a lot of people that say, you know, you can't be successful in the raids unless you have matchmaking or unless you have a good fire team that you bring in. So there's a lot of varying opinions on it. I'll share my opinion tomorrow on, you know, whether the raid needs matchmaking or not. So, all right, guys, this has been day 11. Went a little long today. Sorry, but catch you tomorrow.